Psalm 27. Psalm 27. We're coming to this wonderful psalm. It's a psalm that I love to read when I'm visiting homes. It's turned your eyes to the Lord in such a very special way and reminds us of the confidence that we ought to have in the Lord and the freedom that we ought to have in the Lord. And therefore, we trust that the Lord will speak to us as we come to these words today. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee and praise thee for this wonderful psalm. Oh, Lord, we thank thee for the praises we've been singing unto our God and his house today. And we pray, Lord, as we study this, that thou wilt write it upon our hearts. Lord, give us fresh teaching from it, Lord. Help us to discover new truths that we haven't seen before. And may this be a blessing to all gathered, saint and sinner alike. Oh, Lord, we pray that you'll draw the sinner to thee today, even through these truths, that you'll build up the saint in their holy faith, even through this message. And may the Lord be glorified. Empty me of self and sin, I pray, and fill me with thy spirit. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and for his glory alone. Amen and amen. This is a psalm of great confidence. It is a psalm where we have the psalmist extolling how much he believes and trusts in the Lord. And yet, whenever we come down to verses 7 to the end, he confesses that it's not always been the way. There were times whenever he felt that he couldn't go any further. And there were times when he felt he was going to faint. He was going to feel in the midst of life because of the circumstances. However, he finishes off with this wonderful challenge. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And while there are many of God's people here this morning, we're all in different places. There may be some who are rejoicing in the Lord, have a great confidence this morning, have a wonderful assurance in their heart, and you can truly say you're walking on higher ground with the Lord in close fellowship with him. However, there may be those who feel as if they can't go very much further because of their circumstances. You feel burdened down. You feel as if life is difficult. There may be those who are maybe somewhere in the middle. You maybe don't feel as if you can't go on, but you do feel as if you're maybe not where you ought to be with the Lord. You're not enjoying the things of the Lord just the way you ought to be. Well, I want to show you this morning how to look upon the Lord and to put your confidence in him, and it's simply by seeing how he is revealed in his word. And in verse number 1, we see in David's confidence his description of the Lord. And he uses three different terms to describe the Lord. He describes the Lord as my light, my salvation, the strength of my life. My light, my salvation, and the strength of my life. So first of all, the Lord is my light. Just keep your hand there. And if you turn to John's Gospel, chapter number 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And we find that in this passage, John writes and reminds us of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 of John 1. In him, that is Christ, the Word, was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse number 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So the first thing we realize is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of true light. That is both the natural light, because in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, let there be light. And at the word of God, light appeared, physical light appeared. The Lord Jesus Christ is a source of light, and therefore it has come from him. But the Lord Jesus Christ, being the source of natural physical light, is also the source of spiritual light. He said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And we sang this morning already, let there be light. Lord, shine into darkened hearts, let there be light. And it ought to be the prayer of the child of God this morning, that the light of the Lord and his word will shine into hearts that are not yet saved. Is that a biblical thing to pray for? Or is that just some fanciful language? Well, no, it's scriptural. Because in 2 Corinthians, in the chapter number 4, we read these words. That if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. And therefore, if hearts are in darkness and in the bondage and the darkness of sin, they cannot receive the light. But the Lord Jesus Christ is able to break the bondage of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to shine the gospel into darkened hearts and bring the light and the understanding. And just as clearly as the Lord said, let there be light, and light flooded this universe, so too the Lord can say into the heart of the sinner, let there be light. And we pray often in the prayer meeting that the Lord would speak right into the heart of the sinner, and that the light of the gospel will shine. It's one thing to be able to say, the Lord is light. The Lord is the light of the world. It's another thing to be able to say what David said. The Lord is my light. Is it yours today? Can you say he is your light? What do I mean by that? Well, what does light do? Light promotes life. Where there is no light, there can be no life. That's a principle in the natural world. If there's always darkness, then nothing will grow. It will be a barren place. And friend, if the darkness continues to remain in your heart, the darkness of sin, there will be no light and there will be no life. But whenever the Lord shines in the light of the gospel, and that gospel is received by faith, then life is imparted. The gift of God, which is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. So where there is light, there is life. Not only that, but light gives hope. Light gives hope. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives us hope, even in the darkest of circumstances, even though ever things seem impossible, the Lord Jesus Christ gives hope. I remember being in Calgary one winter, and when I was preaching out there, there was an awful snowstorm, and snow fell in a way that hadn't been seen for over 50 years. And there were so many different advertisements on the radio telling you how to prepare if you're going to go out. You weren't really to go out, but if you had to go out of necessity, you had to put certain things in your car. You had to have a blanket in your car. You had to have food in your car. You had to have a mobile phone that was charged in your car. In case you broke down somewhere, in case you were stranded, in case you couldn't get any further. But there was one other thing that you had to have. You had to have a candle and a box of matches. Temperatures going down to minus 20, minus 30 at night, and you had to have a candle in the car. Why? Because it is a fact that even in the midst of such cold temperatures, the little light of a candle, psychologically, and even the light that's shining and the tiny, tiny bit of heat that's radiating off it, will be enough to keep you going through the night until the day comes. Aren't you glad in the dark nights, in the dark night of life experience, whenever it seems you're not going to make it, that there's hope in the Lord? He is the one that we look to bring us through, to protect us, to keep us standing when we feel so weak and whenever we feel so faint. Light gives life. Light gives hope. Light shows reality. Whenever we're walking in the darkness, we can trip over things, we can injure ourselves. We think we know things well, but then it goes dark and we can't make our way around the house or way around the yard. But the light shows us what's ahead of us. It shows us the dangers that lie around us. It shows us the way in which we ought to walk. It shows us ourselves as we really are. You know, I think about those words in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And whenever we think about what they're talking about there in scriptural times, they're talking about a little oil lamp that would have sat in the palm of the hand, a little bit of oil and a wick. That didn't shine a great light, but it gave you enough light to see the next few steps that you were going to take. And whenever you come to the Word of God and you get before the Lord, His light will show you the next steps that you need to take. Sometimes we want to know what will happen next year and what will happen, you know, in 5 years' time, but the Lord just guides us step by step. And if we are obedient to Him in this step, He'll show us the next step. Isn't it wonderful to be able to say, the Lord is my light? Then we can also say, the Lord is my salvation. The word salvation is a wonderful word. It means liberty. It means deliverance. It means prosperity. It means safety. And therefore, we can take those four words this morning and encourage the child of God. Who are you in Christ? If you're saved this morning, you're one who can say, the Lord is my salvation. This is what He means to you. First of all, you have liberty. Whenever someone's saved, they have liberty. People think that liberty and freedom is getting to do what I want, getting my own way. That's not liberty. That's bondage, because we cannot choose the right way in and of ourselves. True liberty and true freedom is whenever we allow the Lord to have control, when we call upon Him to save us from the bondage of our sin. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Friend, we people in this world today, and they think they're living freely. They think they're living with great liberty, doing what they want, sinning away their lives, not knowing all the while they're in the chains of bondage that are going to drag them down to the pit of hell unless they repent and trust in the Lord. But I'll tell you what true liberty is. It's when the soul is set free from the bondage of sin and they're able to worship the Lord. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Only the saved can sing the new song. Only the saved can truly worship the Lord. Aren't you glad this morning you're free to worship God? Aren't you glad this morning you're free to serve the Lord? Aren't you glad, child of God, this morning you are free to live a life of victory in the Lord? That's what it means. The Lord is our salvation. We have liberty. Not only that, the word salvation means deliverance. It's a lovely verse in Scripture in Isaiah 46, 4. And even to your old age, I am He. And even to the hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. Friend, this morning we have a God who says not only has He made us, not only will He bear us up, not only will He carry us, He will deliver us. Isn't it wonderful to know that we're in the hands of God? Isn't it wonderful to know we don't have to try our best, but we rely on His strength and His power, and He has promised to bring us through. Not only deliverance, but also prosperity. If we're saved this morning, and if you can say the Lord is my salvation, you're one who has known great spiritual prosperity. Listen to these words. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'll tell you, if you have the peace of God this morning, you are a rich person. You have much in this world. You have much in this world. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. Not only do we have peace this morning, and what a blessing that is, we have joy in the Lord. Or circumstances mightn't be ideal, they mightn't be easy, but we have joy in the Lord. He's the unchanging one. He's the lifter up of our soul. And then we have that wonderful promise in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see, this morning, we have the peace of God. We have the joy of the Lord. We have the promise that He will meet every need. Oh, God's salvation brings great prosperity. Dear sinner, you are living in poverty this morning. You can't look ahead to eternity with any peace because you know your sins will be brought before you. You have no true joy because your joy depends on your experiences and on things working out the way you want them to. Whenever life falls apart, then your joy flees. But for the child of God, the one who ever gives that joy, you've none who's promised to meet every need because you've rejected the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord, if you turn to him, if you call upon him, you can know the peace of God this morning, the joy of sins forgiven, a Savior who ever abides and ever gives to his people what they need. And not only does it mean deliverance, not only does it mean prosperity, not only does it mean liberty, it also means safety. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And I love this passage. I love these verses. How often do we not turn to them in times of trouble and share with people the promises of God? It doesn't say if you go through the waters or the fire or the rivers. It says when you go through. And there's not one will be able to stand here and say, I have no problems in life. Life's been easy for me from day one to now. No, we all have to confess we've had a walk hard pass. But the Lord has been with us. That makes a difference. Again, we think of the challenge. He is salvation. Is he your salvation? Is he your light? Is he your salvation? It cannot be found anywhere else other than in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we find this, the Lord is the strength of my life. David was an able warrior. He was a very capable soldier and leader of the army. He led Israel to victory in battle many times. He even stood against Goliath and conquered this man. But his testimony was this, the Lord is the strength of my life. You see, there was a danger that people could look to David and say, you're so great. You're so powerful. Oh, you're the one that we want to be like because you have done so much for us. But David said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Anything that he had done for his people, any victory he had won, any psalm he had written, anything that was for the glory of God was done in the strength of the Lord. What did the Apostle Paul say to the Ephesians? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Oh, how much time he would save, how much energy he would save. If instead of running out, trying to get through the day, trying to do our best, if we get down on our knees and surrender the day to the Lord. Oh, what victory there is whenever we ask the Lord to be our strength and for us to live in his strength. And therefore, there are two questions asked in response to the names of the Lord that the psalmist details in verse 1. He says, whom shall I fear and of whom shall I be afraid? You see, there is the potential for fear in our lives if we forget who God is. The Lord is my light, but there's much darkness in this world. And there are times whenever it may seem to overwhelm in the attacks of the evil one would seek to overwhelm us. The Lord is my salvation or my deliverer, but there are many things in this life, many dangers that we would be fearful of. The Lord is the strength of my life. He will protect and keep us faithful, but there are many enemies that would seek to come against us to weaken the saint. But we are not to fear. Rather, we're to look to the Lord, the all-sufficient one. David says, whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? But his eyes are on the Lord when he says it. Now, the words fear and afraid in verse number 1 are basically have the same meaning. The word fear would mean to be frightened, afraid, or dreading what is before you. And the word afraid also has the same idea. However, it also has the thought of being startled suddenly, to suffer alarm suddenly. And you know what it's like. You're just going through life and then all of a sudden, it happens. You get bad news. Something happens, it turns your world upside down, or your life starts to fall apart or to unravel according to the plan that you had for it. We've all been there. But David is saying, if we look to the Lord, we will see one who is bigger than our problems, one who is greater than our fears, one who is able to meet us at the point of our need. I want to ask you a question. Dear Christian, what causes you fear today? What makes you afraid? What concerns you greatly today? What literally makes you tremble? And that's actually what the word afraid means. It means to shake, to tremble. Whatever it is this morning, it causes your heart to race, your mind to feel overwhelmed, your body even to tremble. I challenge you to bring it before the Lord. And confess before God that thing that terrifies you, and ask Him, your light, your salvation, the strength of your life, to put that fear in its proper place and to give you a view of God that gives you confidence that He will deliver you. We ought to pray with the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind." And there have been many times I have had to go to the Lord with this verse before me and say, "Lord, I am terrified. I'm afraid. And I do not know what to do. I do not know what way to turn. I do not know what step to take. But I'm praying because it says you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And Lord, I pray you'll give me power to overcome this fear. I pray you'll give me a love, a deeper love for you, and give me a sound mind that's able to make a wise decision to go forward." And sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to get back to the very basics and say, "Lord, this is what I'm struggling with." That's no weakness on your part to say, "Lord, I'm struggling." It's not a weakness on the part of the Christian to say, "Lord, I'm terrified." But rather it's wisdom. It's maturity, because the Lord will deliver you. Then in verses 2 and 3, we see David's experience. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. What I love about this passage and about the scripture is that the Lord shows his people as they really are. They're not these picture-perfect people whose lives are unattainable, but there are people just like you and me, flesh and blood, with the same desires and the same fears as you and I. And these words do not come from someone who has never been through trial or difficulty. This man knew what it was to hide from his enemies in a cave because they wanted to kill him. He knew what it was for even family members to want him dead. He knew what it was to be terrified as even he heard of armies marching toward his country and his city that God had given him the responsibility of being protector of. Let's consider just one example. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse number 44. "And the Philistine said to David," this is Goliath, "come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Now what did David write in Psalm 27, verse 2? "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh." And that's exactly what he is describing. Goliath says, "I'll give thy flesh to the animals, they'll feast upon it." But let's read verses 45, 46, and 47. In verse 45, David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." What do we note in that verse? Firstly, the enemy has defied God. He's on the wrong side. And we're on God's side, we're on the winning side, and the name of the Lord can defeat every enemy. Even though they're coming with a sword, David says, I come unto thee in the name of the Lord. So he's coming in the victory because he's on the Lord's side and he's coming in the name of the Lord, or in the authority of the Lord. We have every authority to stand against the enemy today. We have every authority to stand against wickedness. We have every authority to stand against sin because we come in the name of the Lord. Verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. What do we learn from this verse? That the defeat of the enemy gives testimony to the reality of the power of God, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And whenever the enemy is defeated, it's a testimony that there is a God, he is real. Think of those who have known the defeating of the bondage of sin in their lives, those who have been saved by the grace of God, saved from the alcohol, saved from the drugs, saved from living in sin, saved from living with a wicked mouth, saved from living immorally. They're now saved, they're trophies of God's grace. The enemy has been defeated in their lives, and what has happened? There's a testimony to their friends and their family. There is a God. Because this is not of man. Your testimony is an announcement to the world that there is a God. Now, there's a motivation for us to live holy lives. Live a holy life that people will see the reality of the change in your life. Finally, verse 47, it says, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You know, every attack of the enemy is an attack against God. And therefore, bring each attack to the Lord, whether it's an attack against your soul, an attack against your church, an attack against the gospel, an attack against your Savior, bring it to the Lord. And I will say this as well, be in the place where God will use you. Now, David was in the center of the victory that day. He was in the place of victory that day. There were thousands of other Israelites, and they were standing looking down in the valley. And yes, they experienced part of the victory, and they rejoiced in the deliverance of God. But who experienced most greatly the victory over Goliath? It was David. Why did David, out of all the people of Israel, experience so much the victory? Because he was in the very place God had called him to be. He was in the center of the will of God in the battlefield. Sometimes it's a natural thing to run from the battle, but God has called us to be soldiers in the army of the Lord, to fight, to engage in spiritual warfare in the name of Jesus and with the word of God. Are you where God has called you to be? Because if you're there, there will be victory. And it says, when mine enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Is that not exactly what happened? The stone hit Goliath in the forehead. He stumbled back and he fell. C.H. Spurgeon said about this, God's breath blew him off his legs. This was also literally true in the case of our Lord in Gethsemane, when those who came to take him fell backwards and went to the ground, as herein was a prophetic representative of all resting believers who, rising from their knees, shall by the power of faith throw their foes upon their faces. And what a prayer we could pray. Lord, just as the enemies that came against our Savior to take him fell backwards, couldn't go any further because of the power of God, may we see our enemies falling backwards. May we see them stumbling and falling in their sin for the glory of God. Finally, in verse 3, Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And here David's, you can see his excitement and his energy building up. And you know what he's saying? I fought the wicked, I fought the enemy, I fought the foe. I have such confidence in the Lord, should the whole host come against me. Should a war start and a whole army come against me, I have confidence that the Lord can deliver me. In other words, what he's explaining in very poetic language is that there is nothing too hard for God. No circumstance is too difficult for the Lord, but he will bring me through. The word confident, it means to hide for refuge. It means to trust. It means to be sure. It means to be bold. May God give us spiritual confidence that he is able to bring us safely through. That word confident is translated in different ways in the Bible, but it's often translated as trust. And I want us to turn for a final verse today to Isaiah chapter 31. And I just want you to see an example of that confidence and trust misplaced. And in Isaiah 31, verse number 1, we read these words. Isaiah 31, verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and on horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the one, the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. There's a warning here. And there's a warning in twofold manner to the people of God. If in time of need you do not look to the world for help, you don't look down to Egypt, the picture of the world. You don't look at the world's devices to help you and protect you in these spiritual things, but you look to the Lord. Whenever we've difficulty, we don't need to run and tell everybody. We first come to the Lord and look to him and pray for his deliverance. But there's also a challenge here, because there are many people and they are looking to something else other than the Lord Jesus Christ for peace. As they look forward to the day they die, they have something in their mind that they are trusting in. Whether it is a false view of God, that God will allow them into heaven because he is love, or God will overlook their sin, or everybody goes to heaven, whatever they are trusting in will fail. The only way to be saved is by looking on to the Lord, by seeking the Lord while he may be found, calling upon him while he is near. And it's that word trust is the same word that is the word confidence. It is a warning to those who trust in the things of the world. And finally, there's a lovely verse that says, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And that word trusteth is the same word that means confidence. And friend, if you are troubled this morning, dear child of God, keep your mind in Christ. Open the Bible. Read until the peace of God fills your heart. Read until the joy of the Lord strengthens your soul. Read until there's a promise you can claim, and then pray over it and pray on to him, and he will deliver you. The Lord is my light, my strength, and my salvation. And therefore, no matter what I face, he's in control. Even death comes, even in eternity, I'm sure of this thing, that I have one who will deliver me. What about you? Are you saved this morning? If you're not, he can be your light today. He can be your salvation. And praise God, he can be the strength of your life. We're going to close by singing.